Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Rocket Mortgage, confidence. Support for the Adam Carolla Show comes from our friends at Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Why can't clients get approved in minutes, not weeks? Or make adjustments to their rate and term in real time? Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans answered those questions and more. It gives you the confidence to buy a home or refinance your existing loan. Fully understand all the details and be confident you're getting the right mortgage for you. That's right. That's what Rocket Mortgage does. Whether you're looking to buy your first home or your 10th, with Rocket Mortgage, you get a transparent online process. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. What else do you need to know? And again, these guys support the show and are great sponsors. So, Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. To get started, just go to rocketmortgage.com/Adam. That's rocketmortgage.com/Adam.
Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states. NMLS, consumeraccess.org, number 3030. From Corolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, documentarian Jeff Orlovsky, with Gina Grant on news, Paul Bryan on sound effects, and Jeff Cesario is here for the sports with Jed Waterhouse. And now, he's also got a gold medal for Big Air, but that's just about how much he talks. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get on. Mandate, get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for sharing. I just got to pinch myself every morning. I have a job where I just talk into a microphone, and it pays the bills, and we invented it. So love that about you, and we love the fact that you share the good news. Right, Gina Grant?
That's right.
And Paul Bryan?
Abrochado o multado.
Look at our ticket, everyone.
And Jeff Cesario, our favorite. Jeff Cesario.
Thank you very much.
I want to thank A&E's Unreal. New season premieres Monday, February 26th, 10 o'clock on Lifetime and Stamps. Stamps.com, man. Enter Adam. Get that special four-week trial. Stamps.com. All right. I have a hypothetical.
Oh, boy.
I was excited. I came up with this yesterday, driving my son to the movies. Boy, I was, I got to say, I was probably squeezed more. Something that'll happen when you become a parent is you'll do things like go to Pottery Barn Teen, spend $1,359 on a crappy sectional, super shaggy sofa for your daughter's room. And at some point when you're paying for it, you'll pause and think, that's more money than my parents spent on me from 0 to 18. Like that this one little sectional sofa would have encapsulated every Christmas, every birthday, and every emergency and every event in terms of money expenditures. You could include food.
I like how you included emergencies because that really ups the ante.
No, yeah, really there are a few trips to emergency room, but including, you know, all tough skins, all huffy bicycles purchased, the occasional you know, Magic Mountain fun pass or whatever.
The meter is running for 18 years does not even reach 1340.
One couch.
No, does not. And you have these little thoughts.
Yeah.
Yesterday, I decided it would be pancake day. I am good at pancakes. Pancakes kind of an interesting thing.
Breakfast for dinner or pancakes in the morning?
Morning.
Okay.
Pancakes, they're good all the time, but pancakes are, they take a little bit of a mechanical brain, a little less cooking flair, which is, I like to do, there's two things I like to do with pancakes. Okay. I like, you got to get the consistency right. You got to pour it right. And the other part is that I always do with the pancake is I put the lid on it immediately because if you put the lid on it, the top cooks much faster and you can flip it because oftentimes the bottom gets a little bit charred while you're waiting for the tongue to bubble up so you can flip it.
Yes.
But you put that. And here's what you do if you're good. You get the stuff going. You get the ladle so that the ladle is like one good pancake, you know, so you don't have to kind of dump it and measure it. It always gets a little bigger than you'd like it to be. You get that ladle, you get two pans going.
Like one of those, you know,
a drummer's good when he has two kick drums, like two bass drums, so he's playing both those things. You go, like, that guy's good. Yeah. That's what I do with the pancakes. Wow. I get the two
pans going.
Alex Van Halen of pancakes.
And I put the lids over both of them so they both cook, the top cooks faster, and I flip them. So I did that.
Are you thick
for teacher.
Are you thick and fluffy or thin and crispy?
I made a thin and crispy. Natalia and Sonny both, they declared feh to that. Oh. And I said, all right, well, now we got to go fluffy. Yeah. I had to make the Trader Joe's run, go get the mix, go get the rest of the stuff.
Wow.
Bought the dinner materials while I was at the Trader Joe's.
What got into you?
Army Corps of Engineers project.
Yeah, it was big.
Crazy.
And you went. You dispatched yourself.
Yeah, what inspired this?
Couple thoughts. There are things that are just intrinsically healthy that you try to farm out. Like, get someone else to walk the dog. Mm-hmm. Get one of those dog walkers. I'm busy over here. You know, let them go do this thing. Things that seem aimless or low rent.
Mundane.
Aimless.
Well, what I mean is, like, it's a little part and parcel of my bigger picture, which is don't build that loft or that ladder, that whatever, for you and your son. Have some other guy do it, and you pay him. You're busy. You're busy. You're important.
Right. Yeah.
You're busy. Pay
time
that guy. Right. So I live in a world where you get, you know, if you're going to go out, you can do a Indian casino or something, get paid $25,000 for a 90-minute set. That's $18,000 an hour, whatever, $18,400 or $18,500 or whatever it works out, whatever it works out to be. But that doesn't mean that's my hourly rate when I'm at home building
a
loft.
How much you're trying to convince people it is.
Then I'm like more Home Depot guy wanting to jump in the back of your pickup when you're trying to get out of there. That's my rate.
But the farm it out thing is a slippery slope. Next thing you know, you're getting someone to decorate your tree at Christmas time.
Right.
What's wrong with that?
And also,
that was the bad example, Jeff.
We have this.
Jeff's like, yeah, you are.
There's a great thing, which is I built the loft, and at some point, my son and I built the ladder. Now, building the ladder for the loft really just meant he went inside, got some like ski goggles, and put them on while I was cutting clear pine on a chop saw. Like, I was like, literally, unless this blade makes contact with your eyes, you cannot be blinded. He stood 8 feet away with goggles on while I just sat there with no eye protection, did all the cutting. But we laid out his ladder. We went to the hardware store. We bought the wood. We came home. We laid it out and put it up. And almost on a nightly basis, just because I'm a strong believer in this, when he's climbing up on it, I go, good ladder, huh? Great ladder. Yeah. Remember when we made this ladder?
That's cool.
It's good, right?
Getting your emotional capital every time you go up into bed.
It feels good. I'm glad it wasn't. Remember when the guy came over and Olga had to talk to him in Spanish and he made the ladder?
Well, we went outside and went in the pool.
Right.
Like, not as much of a bonding experience.
Not that. Oh, there's a picture of Sonny in his room and his ladder.
Great ladder.
I did it with dowels.
Yeah.
Okay. So I had that feeling of like, yeah, I'm going to do this. I'm making pancakes. I'm going to be that dad. The dad with the memories.
Yeah.
Also, there is no such thing as, I have very fond memories of my mom. I have very fond memories of my parents. I have great appreciation. They were very generous, loving people. No, they never cooked a goddamn thing for me.
Yeah, like that doesn't work.
There is a thing where the cooking part just becomes a manifestation of here's me caring.
Yeah.
Here's me caring about you.
It's more likely the story, the cliche of, oh, we didn't have much growing up. We scraped for everything. We cooked, but she always cooked.
Right. Yeah,
there's always something to eat.
Always had hot food.
Right.
Yeah.
And I don't know, with rare exception of, you know, my mom was on the Supreme Court and exquisitely busy, so my nanny cooked for me. But then.
But I knew she loved me.
Weekends. Boy, do we have a good time. No, my mom wasn't into her kids and didn't cook.
Yeah, that's a rare
over. It's not like she cooked a lot, didn't like her kids, or she never cooked, but she was super into her kids.
No.
It's pretty commensurate.
Yeah.
I'd say there's a
ratio.
Straight line there.
Yeah.
So I like to do it. And then once you get to Trader Joe's, Trader Joe's has a whole bunch of eating kits. Mm-hmm. We're like, oh, that bok choy is already cut up and it's already got the pieces of, they got the mushroom in there for the stir fry. It's already in one pillowcase. Yeah.
The cauliflower rice is already diced.
Right. Yeah.
That's everything the best one.
Everything's like a cooking kit. So I went over there. I started with the pancakes and just decided I'm going straight through
there.
To dinner. Right.
What was for dinner?
So I went to.
What was on the menu?
I'll tell you, do yourselves a favor. Oh, Max Pat, I'm trying to think. I screwed up. I wanted to give a plug to one of our former sponsors. And these guys were called like, these were, the company was, they made a whole bunch of marinades that were kosher. And it was the Chinese woman.
Soy vey.
Jewish guy.
Of course.
Of course I know.
Soy vey. Of course, yeah. Your people. You saw them at the last meeting.
She was just
meeting.
Saying oy vey and it came out.
The soy vey people made a beautiful, like, marinade and like a teriyaki, mm-hmm. whatever. I bought a whole bunch of chicken breast, whacked it all up. Set it in the marinade and did like the whole walk so scene and I loved it. It was great. So the simple things, people.
Damn.
The simple
Look
things.
At you.
And you and Christy both made wok chicken last night.
Really?
Stir-fried chicken. Yes, chicken and veggies
you
last night.
You both have an actual wok?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I think I got it for her.
Oh. Yeah.
Good for
wok
you.
Is awesome.
Yeah.
You cook anything in a wok.
Meh.
Yeah.
Eggs.
The
Jeff not feeling
yeah,
awesome.
It uses a lot of space, but
strong.
I like it because everyone makes a proclamation you're not supposed to clean them.
Exactly. No, yeah. no cleaning. It's a cast iron skillet. You just wipe it down.
Oh, I love doing that.
Just a wet paper towel.
Season it.
Essentially a Ford hubcap.
That's right.
48
with handles.
Flipped over.
An old snow slide.
Yeah, put it right on the burner. Cook
Who brought
stuff
angry
in it.
Jeff?
People love it.
Who brought bitter Jeff?
The
so don't unleash me.
I got a hypothetical for possibly bitter Jeff. So I was driving with my son. In between the cooking, I took my son to go see Black Panther.
Ooh!
So we got
him to see it, or did you see it with him?
I saw it with him just because another excuse. Like I probably wouldn't have gone and seen it on my own, but he wanted to see it, and so why not?
This movie's gonna make a ass load of money. You're gonna have to come up with some jokes for the Oscars for this.
Yes.
One. It's gonna be still globally. Relevant in a couple weeks.
Yeah, well, we're already working on it. Baldywood will do a review of that tomorrow. So I'll just sort of say my thoughts and layer them nicely over your thoughts for tomorrow. Mm-hmm. While we were driving to the theater, I saw a van that had the advertisement for the topless maid.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And I had a couple of thoughts. One is, and I'm still thinking about doing this, it'd be a real strong power move for me to hire a topless maid and just say, let yourself in and let yourself out when you're done. Like, I'm at work.
Yeah.
That's my maids yeah,
key,
now.
Keys under right. the mat.
They show up, they let themselves in, and then they lock the door and pull it shut.
Do I have to be topless? Are you a liar?
When they're leaving. So
we should explain to the people outside of the LA area that these are semi-ubiquitous. Like I see these vans around a lot.
This has been going on for decades.
Yeah. I don't know if it's outside the area, but it's here in LA quite easy, buddy.
Sorry.
It's here quite a bit, and you can hire these topless maids for $99, apparently.
The phone number is 844 so dirty.
I don't know.
Of course it is.
Now, I have a lot of thoughts in life. Like when stuff doesn't make sense to me, I sort of think, what's going on? Sometimes I pick a nationality that is attracted to something and I go, makes sense.
Or an orientation.
Or an orientation where like sometimes I'll go, who's going? It's a gay thing. And I'll go, okay. Yeah. All right. Now it kind of makes sense to me. Mm-hmm. You know, there's versions of that for all cultures. What is going on with the topless maids?
God,
now, the chicks can't be hot because they're doing manual labor.
That's one way to find out.
Can they do a good job? Is it all part of a giant scam that these guys know about, like a sort of mobile rub and tug? Like, what is going on that we don't know about? Like,
I'm gonna epically screw this up.
Or is it just straight ahead? Like, hey, man, I'm a single dude. I got some extra cash. These guys earn an extra couple bucks an hour, but it brings me pleasure.
I'm going to epically screw this up, so I apologize in advance. But I heard this on a recent podcast. And I forget which one it was, but they were talking. Someone was like, oh, yeah, I've worked with that company, or I know how it works. The $99, like they'll come over for like an hour and do like a light dusting. Like if you actually want them to clean, it's either like way more expensive or off the table. Like it's essentially like I'll come to your house. house and like walk around for an hour.
That's what I would imagine.
Things.
They're pretty cute. They're attractive enough, but they don't really clean.
Yeah, I think I remember that being sort of the idea.
Well,
I'd have further details.
I had this thought then.
Don't you, Brian?
Now, this is a hypothetical. Jeff,
nice
you have
girls.
A daughter?
Nice girls.
I have a daughter.
Okay.
Oh, boy. This is going to get uncomfortable.
Now, the first hypothetical I posed in this department was, as I pass a sign off the brewery, off the 55 or the 10 whatever out there, the big Miller Lite Miller Brewery out there on the way to Fontana Racetrack, I passed a sign for like Spearmint Rhino, and has a chick on the sign, you know, wearing a bikini, and it's like best strip club in town or whatever it is. So what I pose to everybody, and I will now pose to you, would you wish that your daughter, it's just A or B, because would you, as a father, like her to work at the Spearmint Rhino in the City of Industry, or not work at the Spearmint Rhino, but be the gal they use for the billboard? The model, so that everybody in your community and everyone on their commute could go, hey, Cesario's daughter's up there.
Huh. Well, I mean, does she look like me? Is that why they know it's my daughter?
She's in the community. Like.
She's in the community. You're a celebrity. You're a pillar.
I'm known in the city of industry.
Well, let's pretend. It's close to your house. And let's say there's high school
billboard.
Guys and teachers and stuff like
really?
That.
Billboard. Yeah.
See, that's.
Why?
I don't want
her involved with the mob. I don't want her involved with ne'er-do-wells. Okay. I don't want her involved in the back of a club at 3 a.m.
I'd rather have her
go in for a photo shoot and have people create their own scenarios in their Kias on the way to work and let that be what it is, as opposed to actually having real danger in my daughter's life.
Oh, my God.
See,
I think
way more about myself.
I was going to say.
I love you.
And I'd be like, you go to the Spearmint Rhino because – anyone who goes in there, it's on them too.
Exactly. Who knows you're there?
You go in the cover.
Yeah, you can be her PE teacher from high school, but if you're in too.
Right.
We both spotted each other.
It's like Varsity Blues.
That's right.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. That's right. The teacher stripper.
That's right.
And the students, and the guys. Yeah. That's right. That's exactly right.
The teacher topless maid.
Can't tell.
Going right back to
student
hot for teacher. All right. So, would you rather your daughter?
Yeah. How'd I do on the first one? Not too bad.
It was good.
It's good.
Back to your point. I think you wove in a little more danger than actually exists at the Spearmint Rhino.
That's my job.
In the City of Industry, but I get it. There's an underbelly.
Yeah.
Now, would you rather your daughter
underbelly.
Either
that's her name.
Work at the Spearmint Rhino in the City of Industry as the one who cleaned? She's not getting naked, but she's got to go in and mop up. She's basically the chick version of what they do at the forum when they're doing a free throw. Like the mop crew runs in there and like mops up real fast.
The free throw.
Yeah, you know, there's a break in the action. Look, someone could get injured.
Right. The no ice curling crew.
Yeah, yeah. He runs in and, you know, wipes the pole down, hits the mirror. The chick's been dry humping, you know, that thing in between sets. Or has a gig as a topless
maid.
Clean.
Yeah. My kid would naturally clean anyway. She's very anal retentive about stuff like that. She likes lists. She likes organization. She likes cleanliness.
But then what if...
So I'm going to let her play into her strength because, honestly, if the people with the topless maids thing were getting any traction, they would not be in a 1979 Econoline stretch
van.
Yeah. With a clearly corkboard sign wrongly bolted through the metal... To the van.
I get it.
They would have gotten some traction by now, and they would have an electronic board on the side. Mm-hmm. They'd have some sort of they would at least have one of those Ford rip-offs of the Mercedes.
A van wrap.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You're talking about the big van that they're using.
They would have
now.
Something.
Yeah,
a little higher
Better
tech.
Better van. All right, last
especially if they're apparently not using any of the van for, you know, the carpet cleaner.
Right.
That giant stretch van is pretty much just dames without tops on, is what you're saying to me.
All right. Now, last hypothetical for you and your daughter. She either works as a dancer at the Spearmint Rhino in the City of Industry or the aforementioned cleanup gal. Now, hold on before you answer. She's going to be in the same you know, pit of snakes working as the cleanup girl as she is working as the dancer. And also, if she's a cleanup girl, it just means in everyone's mind that she's a little too heavy to be a dancer. Yeah. She'd like to be a dancer. She applied as a dancer. The boss told her she was about 15 pounds away from actually being a dancer. Yeah. And if she could just lose the weight, perhaps scrub off some of those extra calories, wiping down some of the glass in the pole, she could work her way into that dancing slot.
Cleanup.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Cleanup.
More anonymous.
Cleanup. Yeah.
Kind of invisible.
Yeah. It's sort of like the Secret Service.
There's a pathetic.
You can look at a picture there and you don't really see them. So even the dirtiest, weirdest guy in the room is not really going to register the cleanup gal because he's still following Trish over the bar to see what she does over there. Then it's all cleaned up.
It's a little,
and then,
little pathetic, though. Don't you feel?
No.
You know
I think it's
in a sense, there's
a nobility to it.
Yeah, well, but,
that's what I'm saying.
All right, but Brian, you asked me what Natalia's doing. Let's just jump ahead to the future. What is she? What is she? 11 now. Mm-hmm. Let's just jump ahead. Let's just jump ahead 6 years and 26 weeks.
Okay.
So like her start on her birthday.
Hey, Adam, long time no see. How you been?
Hey, good man.
Yeah,
bro.
Good. What are the kids? What's Natalia up to?
Oh, she's working at Spearmint Rhino in the City of Industry.
Oh. Good for you. You can make some good tips that way, I think. Good money.
No, and she's not looking good.
Oh.
She's not. They won't let her dance.
Oh.
So.
But she works there?
She goes up after the hot chicks and kind of wipes the place down.
Oh, once all the people have left?
All right, let's try the same conversation. You ask me.
Dad, are we out of 409?
You ask me.
Hey, Jeff, long time no see.
Good to see you. Good.
How's the kid?
Oh, she's great. She's absolutely great.
What's she doing these days?
She's working at the Spearmint Rhino.
In
City of Industry, so it's the good one.
I hear that's one of the more popular
top
ones.
Shelf, two levels, yeah.
That's fantastic. Mm-hmm. What, she's been working there long?
She's been about 2 years.
Oh, my God. She must be making good money, I guess, right? I mean,
no, she doesn't dance.
Oh, what? But she works there.
She's in structural engineering.
Oh.
See, that's how you get around.
Oh, yeah. So you give her a title, a euphemistic title.
Absolutely.
That's good.
But I did notice a theme in all of Jeff's answers. Jeff's answers were completely centered around the welfare of his daughter. So I think that's where
As opposed to, how does this reflect on me?
I need to save some face. Well, look, obviously I'm a little higher up on the food chain, celebrity food chain.
Absolutely.
I had a...
Celebrity Food Chain, incidentally, would be a great show.
Yeah. Celebrity Food Chain.
Great reality show.
I had a... I'm going to try to figure out how to phrase this in a not pejorative way, but you know comedian Bill Dwyer, right?
I do.
And I know comedian Bill Dwyer, and Bill Dwyer's done a lot of stuff,
and
met him a few times. And I was walking my dog the other day through my neighborhood, and it was one of those things where a car sort of pulled up right as I was like crossing the driveway, and I stopped, and I said, "Oh, sorry," and I pulled the dog across, and I remember thinking, "This car looks a little beat up for someone who's pulling up the driveway in this neighborhood. It's got some miles on it." And I remember thinking, a thing I've noticed all the time, I don't know what it is with people. It's always on the beater cars with the obsession with the steering wheel wrap.
Oh,
different themes are like, a steering wheel in the 40s and the 50s was a hard, thin piece of plastic that would wear out your hands. Since 1985,
and was about 8 feet across.
Right, guys on these Hondas that from 1998.
Yeah.
The steering wheel is padded in leather.
Yeah.
And I don't know why you taking another thing that's made of vinyl and a shoelace and tying it around it has made it any better. It's made it a little bit more dangerous.
Yeah.
It's brought some bizarre theme to your car.
Yeah.
But I'm not. You'll
Nobody's
never.
Interested.
You never see it on nice cars, and you never see it with people that have money. It's a
themes
it's a,
to their car, like Peruvian nights.
Looking at one today. That was like a Donald Duck something. Like they had themes, but
that's
the,
great.
the
The wheel is already leather, yeah, and it's already padded, yeah, and it's already comfortable, yeah, and it's not like, well, we're fixing to do the Baja 1000. Like, you're, yeah, just driving, yeah, from Pasadena to Glendale. Like, what's the difficulty?
What do you need the extra?
Why so nappy here? And then, yeah, what about the rest of your super luxurious life? Like, I'm thinking about the rest, yeah, of your life, because I'm looking at the rest of the car, the fast food wrappers that are in the back, yeah, seat, the whatever. I'm sizing you up. Like, yeah, your life is going through my mind. Why in this? I'll bet your mattress is worth less than $100. Mm. Why this? Why this thing? Why the obsession, yeah, with the steering wheel? Can anyone answer me that? No. It's exclusively on bad cars.
It's the one.
And I know that person goes back to a smallish TV and sits on a crappy sofa. Like, mm, why isn't this across the board? Why not a good TV and a good sofa? If luxury, if nap and luxury is our theme.
I think it somehow makes them feel like they are still on their way up. Mm. It's the cheapest thing you can do to give yourself the illusion that you're still on the way up, because another bed is too much money.
Maybe
doing anything with the car, even the home version of the Landau roof kit, right, that thing is a lot of money.
Maybe it's a gift.
Ooh.
Maybe, yeah, it's a gift.
Terrible
and
gift.
Then it's a gift, and you go, hey, geez, I got you the steering wheel cover like in December, oh, and it's March. I've seen you four times. So,
yeah.
Oh, yeah, no, I was going to, yeah, it's in the glove box. I just kept meaning to, at some point, you have to don it. I don't know.
I haven't had time.
They're weird vinyl. They don't add any comfort, by the way. They add a 16th of an inch of vinyl to the outside of a leather steering wheel. Yeah,
protection from the sun, I think, is the only thing it really ought. Maybe
why?
Really
why sweat? People with the world? Why yeah, do people with $2,000 cars worry about this?
Yeah, that's the
it's
least
exclusively
of the
on bad cars.
It might have to last another 17 years.
Maybe
people in $2,000 cars generally go, oh crap.
Well, anyway, I was
Toyota
walking.
Camry's going to have to go for another couple decades.
Saw kind of a beater, and. Now, the beater had multiple dogs in the car, and I thought, oh boy, who is this person driving the beater who lives in this $5 million house? It's kind of a weird car, and then how'd you get all these dogs? But in my mind, you live in this house because you're bringing your dogs home from the kennel or the park or the whatever, but then why are you driving a crappy Camry? Right. And I was just looking at the person, and the person went, hey, Adam. And I went, yeah? And he went, it's Bill Dwyer. And I said, hey, Bill. What's going on? He said, I'm doing good. And I said, yeah, you look good. He said, yeah, I'm a dog walker. I said, oh. You are? I thought you were a comedian. He's like, yeah, I'm doing some gigs. Well, also walking some dogs. And I thought,
diversifying.
This is a tough business.
Yeah.
But then he told me he had a gig coming up in Alaska.
Bill is a, so this reminds me, Bill was a very recognizable comedian in 2006 when he did Last Comic Standing. He did like the fourth season of Last Comic Standing. He was a very, to my mind, I was like, why is Bill Dwyer on the show? Because he was like unknown comedians, right? Yeah, that was the whole idea. Yeah. And here's what I consider to be a fairly recognizable guy. I'm like, why is he on the show?
I'm not passing any finalists in the fourth season. I'm not passing a ton of judgment. I like Bill.
Just confused me.
I don't mind work, but I assume he's not, Netflix isn't handing over, backing up a Brinks truck up as a up the
it's
driveway kinda, of his apartment.
Being a quality comic is like being a fullback in the NFL. You have to find the right team and the right
fit. Who runs that offense.
Who runs that offense, and you occasionally get the ball, and you can sneak through, and then you got something. And if you don't, then, you're gigging, baby. And you're
walking.
You're working your ass. Yeah, you're gigging and you're walking. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not, I've sort of, there's a part of me that thinks, I bet he's happier than Jimmy is. Jimmy's getting ready for the Oscars. He's got to go through all this.
Dogs.
He's got thousands of piles of papers coming at him. Most of them frustrate him, I guess, when he sees really lame jokes and stuff like that. Yeah. Bill seemed very happy.
The actual happiness quotient is probably higher in his life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
walking dogs.
But Bill, if you're listening,
come on the show.
Cars
next time you run into somebody, not me, but like me in that situation, go, hey, Adam. And I'll go, yeah? And you go, it's me, Geechee Guy. And then I'll go, oh, okay. I just said that for Jeff Cesario.
That was fantastic.
And then I'll tell the story about Geechee Guy. Geechee Guy is a stand-up comedian who I only know because when Jimmy and I took our first lover's cruise together in like 1997.
First.
First of many.
We brought the girls along too, just so people wouldn't talk, right?
Sure, but of course.
We took our first cruise together. The comedian on the cruise ship was Geechee Guy,
wow,
who just talked about roller coaster.
And wow. I gave roller coaster trivia.
It was crazy. Like people go, all right, let me see. All right.
No, I went on a roller coaster.
Yeah, he'd sit there and they'd go, people would yell out the city or something, and he'd give you the roller coaster
nearest to the city that was
Fort Wayne. It'd be like Six Flags Over Texas. They have the Zipper there. They have the Widowmaker there. The Widowmaker, top speed, 88 miles an hour.
Wow.
Constructed in 1989. Little known fact, one of the first all steel roller coasters in North America. I mean, of course they had them in Europe, but all steel. Now you think about the tornado over at Six Flags over Magic Mountain over there, but those had wooden connectors. So
great punchline.
This is all
this is closer.
Like, I remember thinking like this is what's going on.
Imagine him thinking, you know, I'm not wasting my AAA silverfish chunk on these people.
Right.
I'm going with the filler until they prove to me they need the A stuff. I'm doing the roller coaster stuff. It's a cruise ship. Nobody's going to know.
I found it to be bizarre. Now, you can look that up and tell me if you think I'm right, but I know I was there. Sorry, Max. Go.
Yeah, something you mentioned it before about the Montreal Comedy Festival, and then I'm reading an interview where he's talking about roller coasters in a Las Vegas blog. So he
became obsessed.
Yeah, like I like Paul
He's
Newman.
Like you are for Paul Newman cars.
I like Paul Newman cars, and I like Graham Parker, but I limit it to about 20 minutes of my set.
Yeah,
you know what I mean, because it's a little too inside baseball.
Gauge the audience.
Yeah. Gauge the audience. Hey,
speaking of Jimmy Kimmel, I have a very interesting thing that happened to me on the way here involving you and Jimmy Kimmel.
Oh, all right. Well, we'll sell that, and I'll tell you guys about Unreal. The critically acclaimed series makes its highly anticipated return to Lifetime. Fictional behind-the-scenes glimpse into the chaos surrounding the production of a dating competition show called Everlasting. This is Dr. Drew's favorite TV show, and he's a doctor. So it's good enough for him, and it'll be good enough for you. This season, there's a new female on the set, Serena, who will take the reins in Everlasting Sutris. She will be the new Sutris, and she'll have her pick of the hunky male suitors while facing off with the female producers. This show is truly good. It's truly funny. It's truly binge-worthy. New season premieres Monday, February 26, 9 o'clock, and I should say 10 o'clock, 9 central on Lifetime. So one more time. New season premieres Monday, February 26, 10 o'clock, 9 central, only on Lifetime, people. What do you got?
All right. So I'm driving here. I'm listening to Howard Stern, as I usually do. And all it said on the little chyron there was Jimmy Kimmel sits in with Howard. And I said, great. Can't wait to hear this. And they're talking about Jerry Lewis and just kind of what an old curmudgeon he was. And Jimmy brought up, a documentary about him. And they were talking about apparently you and Jimmy were walking down the street one time and Jerry Lewis spotted you guys and said about you, oh, you're that guy that talks dirty from that late night show about Loveline. And Jimmy was like, he knows about MTV. He knows who Adam is from Loveline. So they're talking about this the whole time I'm driving. I'm trying to get the video. So that was what was happening while I was looking for my camera while going, 35 miles an hour. But this is the part that I caught. And they were singing your praises about what a great writer you are.
Wow.
Come up with a topic. And then I just say, and I write the monologue and everything. I just say, Adam, I send a writer with Adam.
Right.
And they just take a walk and they come back with like 7 pages of really funny stuff.
So is that what you did on the Oscars? You stuck him in the writer's room and they just kind of...
No, he actually just did it on his own. Yeah, he was in the writer's room, but he worked on stuff on his own.
So did he work on a monologue or did he work on... what was
it? Monologue jokes.
Monologue jokes.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was great. We're going to do it again this year. I haven't told him yet. But no.
Do you have to pay him for that?
I don't pay him.
No, I mean, do the Oscars pay anybody?
He did it just on a volunteer level, but this next one, it'll be a real record.
Why is it that they don't pay anybody for that? I mean, you're putting in a lot of time.
I think because they can get away with not paying. It's not something people do for money. So,
but why not?
they debate this for a while, but
32 million people
very complimentary on the way in.
That's sweet.
Yeah.
That's nice.
That's great.
It was from last August, maybe?
Good vibes out into the world, man. Thank you, Jimmy. And we're just writing more jokes. And it's so fluid because obviously after the aforementioned Black Panther, now you need some Black Panther jokes.
Yep,
whereas when you started a month ago, you weren't really going, well, we got to get some Black Panther. You said that could come, could go, who cares, you know, whatever. So that's kind of how it works. So when people think, wait, you got 2 weeks, you lock it off. It's
no, you don't lock it off.
There can be, and, you know, nowadays, a school shooting, or it doesn't have to be showbiz related, you know. All right. So we'll have some fun, and I'll tell you guys, I'll keep you guys posted, and we'll have some fun with the ones that didn't make the cut, which is all of them. As Jeff Cesario knows from doing this for a living. So we'll have fun with that. We're going to play, we got Chet Waterhouse, we're going to play...
Oh, Ozlympics.
Yeah, we're going to do that? Yeah, we were. Sorry. Why not, this is... So, Ozzy... My partner in crime, Ozzy, is going to announce Olympic events. Chris, you tell me if I screw this up. We're going to show him various Olympic winter.
He will describe
Olympic events.
He'll describe it,
announce it, whatever. We have to figure out what event he's talking about.
Yeah, and Jeff, so he has a very strong Nicaraguan accent. So
okay.
It's interesting.
I'm glad you told me that, because now I can delineate it from the Costa Rican accent.
And we're going to do the Sativa salsa. Buzz in with your name if you think you know what it is.
Okay. So Brian, Jeff, Gina, and Pete.
I'm
right.
Pete.
Okay. And you can get in there before the end.
Okay.
Welcome to the 2018 Winter Ozlympics.
Yep.
With Oswaldo Castillo.
I like it.
Where we see if you can guess which Olympic winter sport Ozzy is watching.
It's very good.
Let's play.
Me parece que estoy viendo una mariposa danzando en el hielo. I saw somebody dancing in the ice.
Gina. Ice skating. Figure skating.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
See, how specific do you have
to be? Is it ice dancing or figure skating?
Me parece que estoy viendo una mariposa danzando en el hielo. I saw somebody dancing in the ice. Almost mariposa.
Yeah, I don't think that's...
Mariposa in the air.
I don't know the difference between ice dancing and...
Butterfly in the air.
Figure skating.
Figure skating, is there a difference?
Yeah,
or are they just called figure skating?
Yes, ice dancing, there's less connection between the couples. They don't have to handle each other constantly.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, there you go. All right. We'll give Gina the W on
that. He called them a mariposa more than once, by the way. Inappropriate. Insensitive.
This guy is almost flying in the air.
Pete. Ski jumping.
Brian.
This guy is almost flying in the air. Touching the snow, you know, and very good. Oh, my God. Clean. Stick it, you know. The ground very clean. It's very good.
Stick the ground very clean.
Yeah, very good.
Very good. Very good.
Adam does have an advantage because he worked with the guy for so long.
It's true.
You speak a little more Aussie than we do.
This guy in the ice.
Brian.
The level
This has got to be the couple's ice dancing, whatever it is.
Nope.
Pete.
The level
Curling.
No. The level torpedo.
Gina.
Hockey? Oh, sorry.
Bobsled.
Oh, wait a minute.
It's very fast.
Jeff.
Take the cure.
The skeleton.
Very.
Are you guys... Are
What's
you guys,
happening?
You guys are laying in these music beds?
I love
I thought this is the music that from the...
Oh, from the actual event.
They're tricking you.
Okay. Take the cure. Very fast.
Gina.
Oh, my God.
Oh,
Gina, luge.
Luge.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
Good, good.
I didn't know you got to go after you...
This guy in the ice.
Nah, I guess that's
what
so
everybody else
Go for a second. All
right. Level torpedo.
All right, the luge.
Really?
Little torpedo.
What's the difference between the luge and the skeleton?
Skeleton. Skeleton, they go down head first.
Oh, my God.
Well, that's why you got to play the game.
You got to call a skeleton.
Oh, my God. Very fast. Maybe, you know, curving in the skies.
Yeah. In the skies.
They're going so fast, they went back in time to Vancouver.
That is terrifying looking.
All right, here we go. Now, wait a minute. Gina's got two?
Gina has two. Pete has one.
All right.
Somebody trying to, you know,
Jeff.
The robot.
Hockey.
Nope.
Nope. Okay.
The robot vacuum.
Gina.
Pete.
Curling.
It's curling.
Oh,
man.
Yeah, the robot vacuum. Yeah. The Roomba.
Robot vacuum.
Somebody trying to, you know, the robot vacuum.
Vacuum.
Clean before the rubber vacuum, the robot vacuum pass. It's incredible. Who is training for Yoki? I don't know.
No.
Well, no. Gina, you got it.
Feeling good.
Cleaning up.
Yeah, Gina.
I speak a little Aussie.
All right, last one.
These two guys, you know, is one a teaser for speed very good. I remember this. It's a North Korea, South Korea guy and their guy for Swiss and something. It's very fast.
Huh? Brian. Bobsled?
Yeah.
Pete. Yep. Speed skating.
Yes.
Of course.
Well, he had two different dudes.
Yeah. Right. Two different countries.
For speed very good. I remember this. It's a North Korea, South Korea guy and their guy for Swiss and something. It's very fast, huh? Look, we open the leg, you know, for Avanti.
I'll be frank, when you make a statement like, and remember this, something better should come after that.
And open the leg too fast, you know, and God.
He's a great color guy.
I had to build houses with that guy. Could you imagine?
Wow.
How is anything up to code?
Yeah, how do you get the right tool?
Oh, my God. Just the lunch run alone was difficult.
Hand you an ear of corn for a screwdriver. I don't know what is going on with that guy.
Congratulations, Gina.
Gina won it.
Yes, that was nicely fun. Done.
Let's wait 4 years before we do it again.
Oh.
Aussie's Winter Games.
All right, Jeff Cesario's here, and that means Chet Waterhouse. First, I'll tell you about Stamps.com, and I'll let Chet clear his pipes there, and we'll go right in some Chet Waterhouse. Stamps.com, man. Postage rates, up again, Stamps.com. Discounts you can't get in the post office. Save 3 cents on every letter. That's 2016 prices and 2018 stamps, everybody. So you can buy and print official U.S. postage, any letter, any package, any class of mail. Do it right from your own computer and printer. They'll even send you a digital scale to automatically calculate the postage. We use it here and right now. You can enjoy Stamps.com with a special 4-week trial plus postage and the digital scale. Go to Stamps.com. Click on the microphone, top of the homepage, and type in my name. That's app. So go to stamps.com, get the scale, get the 4-week special, get the trial, get the whole thing. Stamps.com, enter Adam. All right, let's hear a little Chet Waterhouse, shall we?
The Sports with Chet Waterhouse.
Hello again, everybody. Chet Waterhouse with the Waterhouse Update, brought to you by Grampoline, the goose down trampoline for retirees. Easy does it with Grampoline. Olympics, the Dutch sweep speed skating. That's as predictable as bad brakes on a rental Ferrari. Heterosexual ice skating eliminated as a sport this year. Cheating scandal in curling. Curling? Why? Just get a roster full of hotel maids. By the way, curling, the perfect sport for Lutherans. Lots of sweeping, no physical contact. Photo finish in the biathlon. They'll settle it tomorrow with a good old-fashioned duel. Big air snowboarding suspended when the Swiss kid hit a weather balloon. Host city Pyeongchang, strangely not noted for their pie. That Olympic wrap-up brought to you by Ragtops, the laid-back open-air armored car company. Hide in plain sight with Ragtops. NBA All-Star Game, the one team beat the other team 253-221 and won the skills competition by crocheting a burgundy pashmina. Wow, that's nice. Daytona 500, Danica Patrick wrecks when Aaron Rodgers calls her mid-race and asks her to pick up some aspirin cream. College hoops, Arizona cheerleader who was ejected for heckling a ref got a full scholarship from the debate team. Golf, Tiger Woods missed ditched the cut in L.A. and said from now on he'd wear one of those stomach belts UPS drivers use. That item brought to you by Knitways Expand-A-Belt Funnel Pants. Pour any belly into a pair of knitways. If you want more of this, me this weekend, Adam, I'm in Moscow calling the first annual Russian Bot Farm College Draft. University of Kiev could sweep the top three spots. This is Chet Waterhouse reminding you to play with pain.
Chet Waterhouse Sports.
Oh, it is so good. Play with Pain, the new podcast available on Podcast One and the Apple Podcast. Bob Costas this week, so look for that. And listen to Gina Grad and Rich Eisen and all the A-listers on that program. All right, we'll take a break. I just want to clear the phones here for a second. Lucy, 34, New York.
Hi, Gina, Bob.
Hey.
Chet, sorry.
Yep,
that's all right. So I have a question about, I know it's post Valentine's Day. It was a little late for this question, but how did Adam know when he first fell in love, either with Lynette or anybody else? Because he seems to be the ultimate pragmatist. He doesn't really talk about, like, his feelings. So I'm just trying to understand. Just to give you a good example, Brian, a few episodes ago, talked about how he started to fall in love with his wife during a car ride. I think it was, like, air conditioning was out. And Brian said, oh, yeah, I think I started to fall in love. But you've never, I don't think I've ever heard Adam ever talk about that or in any respect. Well, I think it's because you're the ultimate pragmatist.
Let me handle this one.
Thanks, Chet.
Here's the deal. Love is a decision. Make it and move.
I don't know how it works. And I come from such a weird world where nobody, no one ever said that I love you, or no family members hugged or said I love you, or anything at all. That's always so weird. I'm not sure what they're trying to accomplish with their kids, but one of my joys is I did it this morning. It's like I see my son or my daughter and I go, great day, love you, this is awesome, you know, hug it out, this is great. Like, again, it's free.
You lift them up.
It's free. I get why anything else, but I don't get why the free stuff was never, in a weird way, you know, I think.
It wasn't free.
Everything with my family was about money. We don't have money. But you don't have money for a game of catch in the front yard or the park or screwing around or.
Takes time away from making money.
Yeah. Or a hug or whatever that is.
That'll cost you.
I have, tried to go the other direction at home. When it comes to Lynette, I don't know when I fell in love with her.
Do you remember the first time you told her you loved her?
Yeah, do you remember the first time you said I love you to Jimmy?
Oh, well, Jimmy on the cruise. We were in one room. The girls were in the other. Geechee Guy was on stage asking people about.
The mama was right.
Because that had to be pretty hardcore because you're not used to throwing that around anyway.
Well, there was a time I also sort of figured out, like, something's wrong with you because of these people who raised you. So you're going to have to act a little bit like in The Great Escape when they were posing as German officers after they got out of the gulag or the Stalag or whatever.
So
Still Lee Marvin.
Yeah, but at some point you have to get an outfit that matches other people's outfits at the train station and some paperwork. Otherwise, you're going to be had.
Yeah.
So there's a part of me that's sort of like, what would a normal person do on Valentine's
you're
Day?
Kind of bluffing
or what would a normal
it,
person do? Hey, Lucy?
Yeah.
Sorry if that didn't answer your question, but
in a way it did.
That's the best a wounded Italian can do.
I don't remember when, but we have a great relationship. We have great kids, and we're enjoying our lives together.
Well, I guess it's just funny because you say you like romantic comedies, you enjoy those, and I imagine, and yes, I understand why having sort of an upbringing that is.
Why does she want more?
Because that's all the bitches want more. That's why.
All you bros.
The shrews. No, I like romantic comedies because.
Of what they teach you about love.
No, because I look at it as one of the hardest genres to pull off in movies. Like that's why I have little to no respect for this sort of ghoul porn ones where it's like, and then he took a pencil and he shoved it in the guy's ear and you saw it pop out the other side. Like, I don't feel like that's interesting writing, and you can get a reaction from anyone
scares
in the audience with the jump, music, stab, yeah. show the cat.
Yeah.
Cat inexplicably does what a cat's never done, which, yeah. you know, but, like, but it's her cat and it's in her apartment. Like, why, yeah. what's a cat reacting yeah. to?
The degree of difficulty is low because as long as you hit these notes, you know, yeah. like that, the
you'll
cat,
get
the
that
whatever,
physical reaction.
The gore, the
all right, and I feel
the
like the number of romantic comedies that just hit it out of the ballpark is you could count on one hand, and it's just a taller order. And yeah. that's why I find, you know, like, as fun as the Jackass stuff is, it's just, hey, if a guy's going to get his dick bit yeah. by a snake, you'll
I'm
watch and, of
now
course, cheer. But it's just a creatively not as interesting creatively as when Harry no. met Sally or whatever yeah. we're talking about.
Well, can I tell you, as a woman, that the first time I ever said I love you to somebody I was dating, it was in college. And it was my boyfriend at the time, and I said it first, and I will never forget. I literally heard, I felt like I heard a train go by in my head. Mm-hmm. Like, I just remember this loud noise, like I was going to stroke out while I said it. I was so terrified. Like, wow. Did anyone else ever have, like, a crazy physical reaction to
I
saying it?
I do not
it?
Remember. And no. this is why That's Italians like. Don't share their emotions.
All right, let's see. Last but not least, Travis, 30, Washington. Travis?
Ace Man, thank you so much for taking my call. Get it
hey,
on.
Man. What's going on?
Hey, yeah, I just wanted to weigh in on the heated pee debate from yesterday. I agree that most men do pull the trousers down as opposed to through the flap.
Do you and use the fly, guys, Jeff, was the question.
Do you use
you just
the fly.
Go over the top.
They built the, it. I use the fly.
Yeah, of wow. the underpants.
Old
I like that.
No. I'm saying that I agree most men do pull them down. You don't go through the fly in the flap.
You go through the fly.
What kind of underpants?
What kind
do you
of
have?
Debate is this? Are you
no,
kidding
I
me?
I'm saying I
oh,
agree.
A
with
heated
the
one now.
Who's pulling their pants down to pee?
I think.
Open the fly. Pull your wiener out and pee, Travis.
No. You pull the trousers down.
Why? You take the belt off.
You're a fly.
You decide
guy?
What you're going to do with your shorts. You lift your shirt
you're
up. Oops,
guy.
My reading glasses fell into the urinal. Screw that. 17,000 years of engineering to come up with a zipper. Use it.
Well, now, hold on.
Unless it's a button fly, Travis, then you're right. Then pull the whole schmear down.
Right. The discussion was, do you use the fly that's built into the underpants? I'm now, but we weren't
yes.
initially
We're
talking about
in.
The pants.
Jeff's yeah. saying yes and.
Yeah, no. So what Jeff is saying is I think we Improv. Agree with, which right. is, I think everyone can be right here, but Jeff, you know, you got to tell me. You do the zipper fly. The button fly is tough.
No, button fly should be outlawed.
Snap fly means you're a gay dancer.
Yeah.
There's no guy I know who snaps his flies together.
That's somebody who wants yes. to make
tearaway
an entrance.
Pants, yeah.
Right. There's a tearaway pants.
NBA tearaway pants.
So, you do the zipper down, then do you use the fly in the underpants, or does the underpants come down through the zipper?
I would say 99.9% of the time I use the fly in the underpants.
Wow.
Because usually my T-shirt is hanging so low inside my pants that if I try to go up and then back down,
like
you know, nobody
needle.
Can make it through that chicane. Not even mm-hmm. Jackie Stewart. So I use the fly.
Wait. This
wow.
is crazy, though.
Informative.
I can't visualize this now that you've added the zipper.
Well, let me show you.
If you unzip the jean zipper, then you now find a way to go over the underwear and through the zipper?
No, through. He's going through both.
He's
no,
going
but I'm
through.
You guys.
Sometimes.
You guys.
I think my move, as I think about it, is zipper down, and then a kind of a one thumb in the zipper drag down through the zipper, the underpant thing.
No,
I'm thinking.
I'm belt undone, snap undone.
Over the top,
wow.
completely.
Yeah.
That's what
Holy
I figured
smokes,
you guys
just
were doing.
To pee?
Oh. Yeah, now I'm thinking about Brian.
Yeah,
I got to check the game film, but yeah, maybe.
I'm making more of it than needs to be made.
Maybe.
Possibly.
Because it does seem complicated to go through the zipper, but also over the underwear.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. I use the index finger and the ring finger double hook inside mm-hmm. the open zipper, zap,
mm-hmm.
open
oh,
the curtain,
also.
And
so
it's showtime.
Like a Windsor.
You're done. Yeah.
I got
yeah.
you. Yeah.
Kind of like a Windsor knot.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. I'm satisfied.
I'm going to need everyone to drop their pants.
Yeah. Also, I do realize
an argument.
I do travel
might have been dropped for 20 minutes.
I do travel in quite a bit of like shorts and sweatpants and stuff like that. So I am.
That's different.
Doing a different move quite a bit.
Everyone who is around me should know that you make as little contact as possible with yourself going the belt undone and down route. You just kind of touch it.
Why do you hate your body?
I don't have that much self-loathing.
I'm just saying, that's
important to people.
And a comic. I still touch my wiener when I'm peeing.
Yeah, I don't mind the,
got a Puritan
contact. Mm-hmm. All right. Jeff Cesario. Play with pain.
All this and more.
Yeah. Every week coming up.
I don't mind the contact. That's the quote of the day.
Is, next. All right. I should give you guys a little update on stuff. Phoenix GCU Arena, February 27th, No Safe Spaces Tour. That'll be me and Dennis Prager. Sacramento, Thunder Valley Casino. That'll be March 2nd. We'll be doing stand-up there. Oxnard, Levity Live, March 15th. Basic cable commentary, always good. Santa Ana Esports Arena, we're going to do a live podcast there. I was going to do a stand-up show there, but I've changed it to a live podcast.
Because you guys, missed us.
I miss you guys. I'll tell you more about that later. But that's April 21st. And then, of course, Seattle, more theater live podcast before we take our cruise, which everyone loves. Go to amcroll.com for all the information. Jeff Orlovsky is coming in. He's the Emmy Award-winning documentarian and a filmmaker, and he has a doc out, and we'll talk to him right after Good Sports.
Podcast One Sports Network presents Good Sports.
Hi and hello, sports fans. Welcome to this episode of Good Sports, presented by Podcast One Sports. Dave Damashek here, Adam Carolla there, Ace. We were talking yesterday about the Winter Games, and of course, what better to talk about? We can kick NBA and such to next week or beyond. We only have these Winter Games once every 4 years. You said, and it's a strong statement, that you'd rather for the rest of your life, you can only watch one or the other. You'd only take the winter games over the summer games. The thing that's intriguing about the summer one, I mean, the winter ones, is they're more utilitarian. They're like, so many of these events emerged from, well, this is how we live. Now let's make it into a sport.
Right.
You know, like the cross country skiing is just like, well, that's how we get from point A to point B. Hey, let's time it and see who does it best.
Right. Well, that's where my movie Rings of Honor come in, which is
the coffee mugs.
No, the terrorists have taken over the Olympic training village for USA in Golden, Colorado, or wherever they train, right? Yeah, uh-huh. And they've taken over and they've held everyone hostage, and they're going to systematically kill everyone if their negotiations, ransom, whatever is not met. And each group has to use their own special skills to defeat the terrorists. So when the bomb is there, the shot putter shot puts the bomb, you know, to safety. And, you know, the window's up 18 feet above the gym to escape, and the pole vaulter has to pole vault himself. But everything, but here's the climax. It's all a personal best. So at the end, at the end, they say, we've cut all, back when you could cut the phone lines. We've cut all the phone lines. There's no communication. And the sheriff station is 2 hours and 8 minutes away. And the marathon runner, and it's 26.2 miles away.
I've never run that fast in a marathon. Never run.
You're going to have to set a new world record to get to the sheriff station. And he takes off running. Everyone uses their own Olympic expertise to defeat the terrorists.
I love that. And obviously, the javelin thrower's value is goes without even saying. But yeah, it's why the rhythmic gymnast, could tie right. him up, right. you know, like, right. well, he's dangerous. Not anymore. Yeah, he's not. Now I've got all his, I got all his limbs tied down with my ribbons and such.
Can I say this? What has more promise, but less delivery than the sword fighting competition? You know what I mean?
Like if you're absolutely
just, if someone just said, hey, Gary, is it just called sword fighting or sword or saber or fencing? Sorry.
Well, by the way, fencing. How about that?
Right there, fencing.
You know you're in for a vanilla event. Wait, sword fighting, cutlasses and such? Yes, it's fencing. Fencing? What? Where did they come up with fencing?
But I'm saying I grew up, if someone was fighting another guy with a sword, hence fencing, there was a candelabra that was involved.
Sure.
There was at some point the guy cut a rope and a big chandelier would come down and act as a girdle around all the king's men, you know. This was pirates. This was swashbuckling. Now they have two miniature people, some kind of tether hooked up to their belt or something. They take one step forward and it goes off and they step back again. They're dressed head to toes and like a screen door. Nothing can permeate it. There's a rubber tip on the end. I can't think of something that had more promise and started and went so boring.
It's amazing that I have never considered this, but you're exactly right. It is the difference between how cool it could be and what we actually get to say. Yeah, and it's,
you didn't think anyone would ever go when you were nine. What would you rather see?
Yeah, right.
A guy go on a toboggan or a sword fight? Toboggan every time.
I'd rather watch curling than fencing.
Right. It's not. It's a zero.
Yeah, it's because I think you have to watch it on super slow-mo or something, because you don't even see it.
Also,
your eyes can't follow. Wait, what happened? There's a beep.
And it's
you hear like this unsatisfying beep, and like, what happened? Who did what?
This is a bad sign in any sport. When you have to look at the two competitors and their body language to figure out who scored.
I was just going to say, I can't even tell.
That's the whole point. You have to just look at, oh, the Asian guy's pouting. I guess the other guy. I guess the Swede scored.
They're all dressed like bleached out ninjas. They all. Yeah. Why don't you get to wear a special color? Why can't you wear some color? Why can't you wear some nice something that that pops a little? You know, why you got to wear? Everybody's got to wear the white.
You should be wearing boots that come up to your knees with tassels and buckles.
Commit to one of
pirate. You got to go full pirate.
Not if you're Scandinavian. Then you get to dress up like you dress up like a Viking.
All right.
And then if you're from Britain, then you do the high black boot look. You know, and the skinny sword.
You do the three musketeers.
You should be allowed to use different kinds of swords too. If you're from a certain part of the world, you get to use that big thick cutlass,
big battle axe, swinging your battle axe.
Now we're on to something.
We're on to something, which is, every country needs to dress in the garb of the time period where they would have used that foil or their version of it, the sword. Japan has a version of that.
Gets the, you know, the Ginsu. The Hanzu.
The Hanzu.
Yeah.
The katana. Ooh. Deep cut for the Ace Man.
Very well
done.
Very nice.
Pardon
I've always wondered why Bruce Willis in Pulp Fiction, when he comes up the stairs from leaving the gimp and whatever's going on downstairs, when he comes upstairs and he's perusing all his options for going back downstairs to kill the bad guys, that he chooses the Hanzu sword.
Mm-hmm.
I would have taken the chainsaw. Wouldn't that be better? Wouldn't you rather have a chainsaw in your mitts than a big sword?
Yeah, it's not as stealthy.
All
right. So
that's the Canadian war implement for our new version of fencing. They get a chainsaw.
Yeah. They're probably all going to have to stick to something that's not motorized. But I'm saying,
says you. I'm not putting a ceiling on these ideas right now.
There was never a time, you know. So what I'm saying is. It's not like we passed through the 16 and 1700s and we had automatic rifles, but in Japan they still use swords. Everyone used a sword at a certain period in time of their country's history.
Yeah, right.
And we simply put them in the uniform that's commensurate with that.
I love it. So, so what would America be? The American guy might be like a late 19th century kind of union-y kind of looking soldier with the light blue pants and the navy
jacket. Yeah, I would like to think of it as sort of a commanding officer in either the Revolutionary War or perhaps either Revolutionary War or...
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
You're going George Washington vibe.
I could go that. We'd go Civil War if you like.
Oh, well, I mean, you know, we could figure it out, you know, or do you, yeah, you go Ulysses S. Grant era kind of vibe with the, either way, that sword for that, and then we got the Japanese get the Hanzu swords, and I mean, I don't see a downside to this. The Viking guy, it seems like South America would be the guys who would get the pirate cutlass kind of thing.
Yeah.
Magellan and those kinds.
Yeah.
You know? What about the two? Where do you come down on the two-sided stick? You know what I mean? That long stick that the one Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle gets. Like, he has that thing where he... Ooh, nunchucks.
Mm.
Are you allowed a nunchuck?
No, I like the pugil stick, I think they call...
Pugil stick.
They call those.
Will you
or
allow
they would,
that?
They, at least they do in the Marines.
Because
no,
it doesn't cut...
I don't want to denigrate or pollute this sport. I'm looking to rise above.
You know
what I'm saying? I don't want to go full XFL here.
Okay.
See what I'm saying? Everyone uses their sword from their time period in their
and
country.
You're right. Everybody's had one.
And everybody dresses in the outfit that the person that would have wielded that sword 250 years ago, that's the outfit you're in.
I love it. And maybe if Ace Carolla's nation were involved, you would also put a big knife in your mouth while you're doing it. You would just carry the knife the whole time for intimidation purpose.
Yeah.
All right.
Hold the phone, Shaq. The Black Tux. They got a wedding, a special event, something coming up for me, the Oscars.
Award stand after you win our new version of fencing. You want to look your best, don't you?
Up on the podium. Until I throw my knife at you, and we take you out. I take it out of my mouth for one
Second
reason.
Second place is dead place. That's your line.
TheBlackTux.com. High quality rental suits and tuxedos delivered to your door. Create your look or choose from tons of stylist selected outfits all online. Usually they retail for $1,200, but the Black Tux will get it to you for just $95. So they have free home try on. See and feel the fit and the quality months before your event. It arrives 14 days before the event, so you have plenty of time to try it on. If anything is less than perfect, they'll send you a free replacement right away. And then just drop it back in the mail for free shipping both ways. I'm going to wear it to the Oscars this year. How say you, Dave?
Ooh la la. For $20 off your purchase, visit theblacktux.com/Adam, A-D-A-M. That's theblacktux.com/Adam for $20 off your purchase. The Black Tux premium rental suits and tuxedos delivered. All right. Now that is a wrap on today's Good Sports. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Podcast One Sports out. Good Sports.